Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Congressman Chris Gibson, Republican of New York's 19th District, in office since 2011. Welcome back, Chris. I'm always delighted to see you here.
Good to be with you again. Thanks for the opportunity.
So let's start with no labels. Now, no labels means that there are Democrats and Republicans who feel that we've gotten too partisan, right?
Yes, indeed. In fact, no labels in the truest sense of the word. At the door, we check what party we're in, but we also, look, this is liberals and conservatives, Democrats and Republicans. Labels matter nothing. Functionality matters everything.
So give us an example.
So we just unveiled a package of 9 bills that are related to what I would describe as good government bills. So we're talking about budget reform, bringing more transparency to the budget process, moving to a 2-year budget process, which many experts on both sides of the aisle think would be helpful. We've got good government reforms in the way that government consumes energy. We're talking about the buildings in Washington, D.C. We think we can save billions of dollars in the way that we use energy. And then also coming together for the way we treat veterans. So I'm the author of one of the 9 bills, along with my colleagues. This is, as I like to say, 2 doctors and 3 infantrymen. 2 doctors, Dr. Barra and Dr. Ruiz, Democrats.
These are both congressmen, Democrats, and physicians. And you're the soldier.
I'm one of the 3 infantrymen soldiers. So, interesting backstory is Dr. Ruiz and I, before either of us came to Congress, we were together in Haiti. And he was with Sean Penn's group. And, of course, I was leading the paratrooper brigade down there helping after that natural disaster. And I had met this doctor, a wonderful guy. And he's now a freshman in the Congress. And we went to lunch recently and we talked about those times, those trying times in Haiti. So, it's really a special moment to be able to be author of a bill with this guy, this young and incredible story. Dr. Ruiz, Raul Ruiz, really worth for the listeners out there to look him up, to Google him, because this guy, as I say, when people ask about my background, I was the first one in my family to graduate from college. Dr. Ruiz was the first one in his family to graduate from high school.
Wow.
And he went on to, he's a Harvard graduate, a medical doctor with a background in policy as well, and he's off to a great start in the United States Congress. So what we're doing in our bill is you've got medical records, from the time that I raised my right hand when I was 17, all the way through the time I was serving on active duty, I had a medical record. It was for the first, it was 29 years total, for the first 26 or so, it was paper. And then eventually we started moving towards the electronic. But when I retired, that electronic record didn't follow me. We had paper I took with me, but we started over again. A country as great as ours, we just cannot continue to do this because veterans, when they come out of the service, many of them are bringing with them some some baggage, and they're really going through some tough times. And the idea that they were going to spend hours building back up again a medical history is something that's daunting to them. So we're finding that, so what we're doing in this bill is requiring the DOD and the VA to merge their systems so that we have a single medical record. From the time that you raise your right hand to the time you go to the grave, you would be tracked with this one medical record.
Now, isn't that where we're all going? I mean, isn't it so that, I go to one doctor, another doctor, and we have to start all over?
Well, indeed. Talking to the physicians who serve in the Congress on either side of the aisle, they're saying that this could very well be helpful as a model for us as we are, because there's already some action moving us in this direction, but there hasn't been enough action.
But the downside, of course, is that wherever you find a good idea, you also find potential abuse. So you find somebody has HIV, the insurance companies learn about it, we may make rules, but the potential for screwing things up is pretty good.
Well, we can also safeguard against that with the legislation that we have. So, I think on balance, this is really the way to go. So this bill, brings together Democrats and Republicans in terms of the authors and in terms of the co-sponsors. There's 50 of them already, and they're on both sides of the aisle. So that's illustrative of what we're trying to do in No Labels. Regardless of whether you're a Democrat, a Republican, a conservative, or a liberal, that there are matters, there are issues where we can come together, and for the good of the country, we can enact legislation that moves us forward.
Now, you can call me cynical, which I think some people have. But isn't it possible that the people who are involved in the No Labels movement are more likely to come from heavily competitive congressional districts as opposed to, you know, safe districts where they could be either a dyed-in-the-wool doctrinaire Democrat or Republican?
Except for the fact that when you look at there's 80 members in the No Labels, and they come from both parties and from both houses, it just doesn't stand up to the rigor of review. There are a number of folks, and here's why. I mean, candidly, over 95% of the members of Congress aren't going to face a competitive election in November because of the way that lines have been drawn, congressional lines have been drawn. Sure. So, you know, when you talk about numbers such as these, you know, 80, you know, already you'll see pundits are saying that maybe there'll be two or three dozen competitive races across the country, which is a shame because, you know, instead of voters choosing their representatives, representatives choose their voters.
Do you think outside groups should do the apportionment as opposed to, sounds that way,
I do.
As opposed to, yes.
I remember one of the reporters here in this local area, he said to me, you know, Chris, I noticed you never complained about the process that was done here in New York where you went from a Republican district to a swing district. And, you know, that's because I believe that that's the way we should be drawing our lines. It should not be based on collusion of the parties. Because here's why, Alan. It's not just an academic point. I see it every day when I'm serving in the Congress. You know, the members of Congress are reluctant to come together and to govern because they could be seen as not catering to the far interests inside their district.
Okay, so let me go to No Labels because we only got 2 minutes left. But I wanted to ask you this. Do you think that when you take on this thing that it's more show than go? I mean, for example, if your bill about medical records is very important, don't get me wrong, but it's not the budget. Do you take things that are less profound in order to get something passed as opposed to the really big issues?
No, you know, what I learned in Iraq is when you get in the habit of working together, there in northern Iraq, I had Sunni, Shia, Kurds, Turkmen, Yazidis, Zoroasters, Christian Jews, all in the same province. And I had the responsibility of leading paratroopers to help bring these elements together. And what I learned is, and it's really Aristotelian. I mean, Aristotle said, how do you make a good person? He said you make a good person one day at a time by habit. You get folks in the habit of working together. So I think there's something instructive about what we're doing. And in fact, you look at some of the leaders in this group. I'm a co-chair of this group, along with my colleague Peter Welch, Democrat from Vermont. Well, our friendship was forged in the immediate aftermath of Hurricanes Irene and Lee, out of necessity. Our districts were crushed by these storms, and we led the effort in the House to make sure we got the appropriations necessary. That led to a friendship. We found out we had other things in common. We were both point guards in our past, and you know, and good sense of humor. And so that actually, we ended up working together on veterans legislation, on farming legislation. We're now leading the effort to try to block aid to the Syrian rebels unless there's a vote in the House and Senate. And we appeared on C-SPAN together. So, you know, that, I think those kind of relationships are important to the Congress. And let me say one last thing on No Labels. Look, you know, as somebody who studied the founding, you know, our founders put together a form of government that in the absence of consensus, we keep the status quo. They did that on purpose. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, particularly in an era of divided government, if you believe as I do, regardless of what party you're in, if you believe as I do that the status quo is unacceptable, then by constitutional stipulation, you're going to work together. You're going to find that common ground. It's the only way you're going to get change. Otherwise, we're left with the status quo, which in my view is unacceptable.
Chris Gibson, always great to hear from you. We try to make sure that everybody gets a forum here. Your pal, Democrat Welch, you. It's always great to hear from you, and thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Alan. God bless.